Well, Merry Christmas to you. How are you? Good. I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I know that Pastor Matt got to welcome you, but just from my perspective, it is such an honor to have you here this evening. I know that many of you, this is your place of worship, and it's so good to see you and others. Your family, and you kind of got dragged along, or maybe you're a guest and you were invited. And so wherever you came from, it's truly an honor that we get to kind of be a part of your Christmas celebration. And I just want to say thank you so much for being here. There's a very famous Charles Dickens story. And it's famous because it's like there's been iteration after iteration of this story. And the idea is there's a guy, he's a mean guy, his name's Ebenezer Scrooge. And he gets visited by some ghosts, past, present, future. He wakes up, realizes that he's a horrible person. He changes, and it's a Christmas miracle, and it's wonderful, right? Like, it's a pretty well-known, whether it's Mickey Mouse or Hollywood, this is a story that's told all over the place. It's Charles Dickens' famous Christmas story. There's also a story from Charles Dickens that has nothing to do with Christmas, but its beginning line, I think, has everything to do describing the Christmas season that we live in. It's the beginning, the intro line to his famous Tale of Two Cities, and the phrase that starts it, the beginning of the book is this: it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Dickens was describing the historical period around the French Revolution. So it has nothing to do with Christmas. But I do think that if we're honest, Christmas is the best of times. There's some incredibly powerful things about Christmas. But also, if we're honest, there's some hard things. And it is specifically if you're in a difficult season or a unique situation where Christmas can feel like the worst of times. I want to talk about those two and how Jesus interacts with that reality that we just kind of walk into this room with. Let's start with Christmas is the best of times. Do I have any kids in this room? You can scream right now. Ready, set, go. There you go. Kids are in the house. Listen, Christmas is the best of times. Who doesn't love presents? Am I right? Like, the joy and the wonder of presents. Like, when you're a kid and you get presents on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve or however you do it in your family, opening presents, I still, like, some of those, my core memories as a child is around Christmas. And then you get to be an adult, we act like we don't like opening presents, but we totally do. But it still is, you find out what is said in the book of Acts, it's better to give than receive when you start giving presents away to other people. Let's talk about how, like, the best of times of Christmas, decorations. Like, there's no other holiday that you have a section of your basement to store. Like, you don't store Labor Day decorations. You don't do that. But Christmas is the best. And so there's actually a section in your basement that stores it. You pull out your Christmas tree. It's a whole big thing. It's a section. It's the best of times. Like, there's music. There's movies. What other holiday gets a radio station 24/7 playing its music? Nothing. Christmas. Like, there's no such thing as 4th of July cookies, but there's such a thing as Christmas cookies, because Christmas is this thing that incredibly stands out. And it's awesome because it also is at the turning of a season, and it actually gives us tons of time off. So students, we love Christmas time. We're off. Adults, a lot of us get time off of work. It's like this beautiful thing. Christmas is the best of times. And spiritually, we just sang about it. Christmas is the best of times. Israel had been waiting for a Messiah. They've been waiting for someone to come and save them. And we read the Christmas story. Christmas is the best of times. The Messiah has come. And this Messiah that had been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years, he shows up. Christmas is the best of times. Angels fill the sky. They're singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Shepherds run to go find the baby. There's actually kings that come from far off. We talked about this last Sunday. And they run to come see Jesus and they worship at his feet. All of this is the most incredible story. In the midst of it, we find out that Jesus was born of a virgin and he's fully God and fully man. Christmas is the best of times. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 says it this way: for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named, we just sang it, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast. His rule will be vast, and prosperity will never end. Listen, he will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness. Listen, from now and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of Armies will accomplish this. The Christmas story is not just some cool origin story, some background story. It is the reality that God came on earth as a human, as fully God, so that he could save us. And it just wasn't this story about a manger and wise men and shepherds and camels and donkeys and all that. This is what happened because of his coming. 1 Timothy 1 says it this way. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And Paul actually adds this, and I'm the worst of them. Christ Jesus coming to planet Earth was so that he could save sinners. Christmas is the best of times. Hope you have an incredible celebration with your family. I hope you laugh. I hope you eat too much. You shouldn't do that for the rest of your life, but the next week is totally cool. Do whatever you want to do. I hope if you have a present that you get it. I hope it, because Christmas is the best, but I also hope that you know the best part of Christmas, which is Christ. But Christmas can be the worst of times as well. For all the greatness that Christmas brings, if we didn't mention the hard parts, we wouldn't be telling the whole truth. Let's talk about the Christmas holiday, just the holiday season of Christmas. For some, many in this room, some watching online, this could be one of the hardest, the worst times of the year for you. Because we realize all of a sudden that life is hard. I want to let you in on a secret. Life is not like a Hallmark movie. It works out perfectly. You can get fired, find the love of your life, and have a beautiful Christmas tree in 24 hours on the movies. You and I both know that that's not how most of our life goes. I'm guessing that this holiday season, that you've had a meltdown or a breakdown, and if it wasn't you, it was your toddler or your older child who acts like a toddler. I said it. You've had a meltdown or breakdown over something of the season. Maybe it was while you were decorating. Maybe it was while you were trying to participate in a tradition. You or your kid, you'd had enough. You had pressure from work, finals to work out. You had the pressure of your family. You didn't have everything accomplished, and you've just melted down. Beyond that, there's many in this room that you're walking through a holiday season for the first time without a very near loved one and dear one. Christmas is a season where you feel loss magnified times 10,000. My dad had passed away 8 years ago. 3 days ago, I hung up the phone with my mom, and I had this overwhelming feeling to call my father. It's been 8 years. And some of you, it is fresh. It is new. And maybe it's not you lost a loved one who passed away, but there's a loss of something. It was a job. It was a relationship. There's something that this Christmas season, because the season is so warm and everything's perfect, we become critically aware when something is not there. But then there's some of you, you didn't lose anything, but Christmas just shines a light on the loneliness that we all carry around with us. What's interesting about loneliness is sometimes you can be at the biggest party with the most boisterous family and feel all alone. Maybe there is a fracture and this is the first time that you've been alone on a holiday, or maybe it's the first time you've been in Ankeny in the holiday, or maybe it's the first time you've been an empty nester on the holiday. Whatever it could be, Christmas has a way to magnify that. And it can feel like Christmas can be the worst of times. But when we think about Christmas spiritually, it came about in what would be considered one of the darkest days. If we look at the historical reality of when Christ came, the reality is that the cradle of Christmas is in the worst of times. Historically speaking, when Jesus came, did you know the nation of Israel had been under Roman occupation? The Romans had come in and completely occupied them, overran them, and were ruling them. They were no longer set up to rule the way that they wanted. They were being oppressed. And not only that, that's what was happening politically, but what was happening spiritually was so much more significant. There's a time between Malachi in the Old Testament and Matthew in the New Testament. Scholars call it the silent years, because for 400 years, there had not been one prophet speak. They had been prophesied a long time ago that a Messiah would come, but for 400 years, there have been no prophets for the nation of Israel. There have been no Messiah. They have been waiting for hundreds of years. Now listen, our nation, America, is 250 years old. I want you to almost double that, and that's how long Israel had gone without a word from God and waiting for the Messiah. It was dark. When Christ is born, it was actually the worst of times for the nation of Israel. And if you put that forward in our lives, as we look at Christmas, the present of us Christmas can often be in the worst of times. I'm guaranteeing you, some of you have walked into this room and you can quote, Jesus is the reason for the season. And you know, it's all about Jesus. And you're actually at church, great job. I'm proud of you. You know that Jesus is the reason that we celebrate. But we're busy. We're super distracted. I've been to Hy-Vee 14 times in the last 12 hours. Somebody, thank you for feeling my pain. It's been a long year. Yes, you want to worship the Lord, but you got guests, you got to make this, you got to wrap that, you got to get it all together. And even beyond the Christmas decorations, this has been a hard year. You know King Jesus should be worshiped at Christmas, but it's been hard. It's been long. So you go to Christmas parties, you watch the movies, you eat the cookies, but then when you're honest with yourself, there's a disconnection between you and God. Christmas can hit us at the worst of times. I want to go back to Charles Dickens. I promise this isn't a literary class. But the beginning phrase to The Tale of Two Cities, it starts, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And then a little bit later in that same sentence, it says, it was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. So the best of times is a season of light, and the worst of times is the season of darkness. And here's what I want to tell you this evening or afternoon, is the idea is that we will only appreciate the good of Christ in this season, the light of Christ in this season, if we're honest about the darkness without him. We have to be honest about the darkness that we experience. I don't know where the darkest place you've ever been in your life, but it's crystal clear in my mind. Multiple times this has happened. It's when you're in the middle of a cave. I've now been in, I can at least think of four caves in this country and in other countries where the climactic event, if you go into a cave, whether you're by yourself spelunking or you're on a tour, is when you're in about 30 minutes into the heart of the earth and there's no light anywhere, they flip the switch and it is staggering how dark it is. The most recent time this happened, my family and I were at South Dakota. We were camping for our family vacation, and there's a cave there called the Wind Cave. We went and toured the Wind Cave. You're in the middle, and you've been like inside the earth. It's just kind of an overwhelming feeling for a long time. And when you're at the peakest, like deepest part of the cave, they said, we want you to experience what darkness is without any level of light. And here's what they do. They're very smart. Because that kind of darkness is so overwhelming, most people panic. We don't have any spatial awareness. And so you're scared to take a step. You don't know what to do. So before they'll turn off the lights, like we're a bunch of geriatric old people, they're like, you need to take a sit. And there's a bunch of benches, and they sit you down because they know you can't handle the darkness standing up. You'll trip. You'll panic. You'll run into somebody. They sit you down, Lights are off. And you can't imagine the darkness. They let you sit in it for like 3 to 5 minutes. And you know how sometimes your eyes can get accustomed to it? There's no accustomment when there's no getting accustomed to it if there's no light whatsoever. And it's this lonely, dark feeling. Do you know why darkness like that is so scary? Because in every other area of your life, you can fix the darkness. Like it used to be a little bit harder, and then we got to the 21st century, and we got what? Our cell phone. So there's very few places that you're at in darkness that you can't solve it immediately. If you're in your house and you don't know where you're at, you can actually turn on the light. Many of you actually know your house so well, you can kind of walk around in the dark without hitting anything unless the dog moves in the wrong place. And then they yelp in the middle of the night, right? But even in our house, if it's dark, you turn on the light. It's really dark now. In December in Iowa, it's dark way too much, and it's no problem. We just turn on the lights in our cars. We're really accustomed to solving the darkness in our life. But for us to appreciate the light, we must be honest about the dark, and specifically, listen, the spiritual darkness that we walk in. In the scripture, darkness is a metaphor for sin, and it's not just that we have sinned, it's that also we often prefer it. Listen to what the scripture says. This is John 3. It says, this is the judgment. The light, being Jesus, has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. We often run to the darkness. Here's my hope this Christmas Eve, is that we're honest about our darkness, but we also find our hope in the light of Christ. Now, I could try for the next few minutes to try to explain all the darkness that you feel, and I could give every metaphor and try to give a bunch of examples, but I actually think it would be more powerful for us to experience darkness. Here is the truth tonight. Without Christ, you are walking in darkness. Yeah. The toddler said what many of you wanted to say, but not sure what to say. Physically, when we're in the dark, it's uncomfortable. What am I supposed to do? Where do I go? Congratulations, there's fire codes and you know where the exit signs are. But it's uncomfortable. We want to pull out our phone. We want to solve it because we're not sure. We don't know what's coming. And most of us in our life can solve our spiritual or our physical darkness rather easily. But while we're sitting in it tonight, I want to talk about our spiritual darkness. Because most of us, we don't sit in the darkness for long. We don't sit in loneliness very well. We just pull out our phone and create our own light by scrolling through social media. When there's financial darkness in our life, we don't sit in that and try to learn from it. We just turn on a light of debt and more and more and more. When we're alone and sad, we don't sit in the darkness to feel it. Rather, we just turn on whatever streaming service wants to come our way that can solve the problem. There's just sin in life. We just turn on the light of hypocrisy. We get so used to trying to solve our dark problems. But the reality is, you and I can't. Only Christ can. Jesus Christ is the light. In fact, Isaiah chapter 9 prophesied who would come. He said, the people walking in darkness saw a great light. And that light was the dawn. And it dawned on those that were living in the land of darkness. Isaiah prophesied it, but then John, describing who Jesus was, listen to what John described. It says, in him, in Christ, was the life, and that life was the light of man. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Here's what's crazy about this room. Before you walked in, hundreds of lights are on. We try to set moods. We try to set everything. We want it to look all pretty. But the fact is that one light in this room, darkness can't overcome it. I can see many of your faces. We can now walk around and have light. We don't need artificial things to light our path. Physically, brothers and sisters, most of us know how to solve our darkness. Pull out your phone and don't trip. It's fine. But spiritually speaking, my fear is that we've learned to turn on false lights that just distract us from our need of Christ. And when Jesus came as a virgin to Mary, lived a perfect life, later on in his life, he was teaching in John 8, this is what he said. Jesus spoke to them again, and listen to what he says. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Would you bow with me tonight? Before I pray, I just want you to be honest for just a few seconds. Do you know that light? I know you have darkness in your life. But do you know Christ Jesus, the only one who can give you life and light for all eternity? Maybe this Christmas would be the first time for you to say, Jesus, I believe you are the life, you are the light, my only hope for salvation. That'd be an incredible Christmas. But then most of you in this room know Christ Jesus. I'm asking you, before you eat cookies and open presents, would you just be honest with yourself? If you're trying to light your own way, or you're allowing Christ Jesus to light your path? Jesus, we come tonight realizing that Jesus Christ was born, lived a perfect life, came to save us. And so God, for those who don't believe that, would they believe that tonight? And then for those of those who do know this, God, would you, by your Spirit, begin to rip away things in their life that they're trusting in beside you? And may this Christmas be one where we realize that you and you alone can save. We would surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name I pray.